Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Monday, July 29th, here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host. And we're going to wrap up this weekend's activities. Of course, the Truck Series was out at Eldora on Wednesday. Turned out to be a great race. Austin Dillon went in that. And first race on dirt for a NASCAR Touring Series in quite a long time. Everybody that I saw online and was saying that it ought to be kept on the schedule is probably one of the best races of the season that they've seen. So we'll have to see what NASCAR is going to do about it for next year. Of course, Eldora Speedway, owned by Tony Stewart. So everybody was complimenting him on the great show they put on, and I think it might be a keeper. So I know all the local dirt tracks in the area are what leads up to the Big Three Touring Series, and the fact that they put one of them on a dirt track for this year in the Truck Series, I guess to see what kind of reaction we're getting. Got a lot of positive results and feedback. Of course, Arca Series runs two dirt track races a year as well. It is the only series that runs on all types of tracks for the regular season. Anyway, so they've been doing that for quite a number of years. Of course, the Arca Series was just at the New Jersey Motorsports Park back in my old neck of the woods, and took a while for them to get a track built there and to get that in the NASCAR Grand Am Series as some of the major draws. It's good for them to see that. Of course, ARCA was one of the ARCA team owners who lives in the area, is one of the people that had that built, and was a instrumental in getting that off the ground in a long-term battle between North and South Jersey with several different governors, and wound up getting put down in the Millville area. So anybody that's been to New Jersey Motorsports Park, it's a nice road course set up, and of course they were building a motorsports complex there where they were going to have a 3/4 mile oval along with some hotels and things, and make it a full enclosed area to where, because they're right next to the Millville Airport. People could fly into there, just drive out of one and into the other. But last week, before this weekend's nationwide race at Indianapolis, caught up with Sam Hornish Jr. and got some time with him last Tuesday, and one day behind. I would love to have him on live and talk about it, but we caught up with Sam, and here's what he had to say. Number 12 Alliance Truck Parts Ford for Penske Racing, the current Nationwide Series points leader, Sam Hornish Jr. Sam, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Oh, not too bad. Try to catch you on live once in a while, but your schedule has you running all over the place. Heard you were testing out in Toledo today. How'd that go?
Everything went fairly well. A lot better than yesterday. It rained yesterday all day, so we didn't get an opportunity to do much testing. There's nothing. There's a lot of things that are worse than sitting at the racetrack in the rain, but as a racetrack guy, we're wanting to get things accomplished so that we can be better. You know, each time that we go back to the track, you know, you just hate sitting there and not being able to get that time in and thinking about all the other things that you could be doing with your day instead.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, since we last spoke, you were the points leader then, and you ran into a little bit of problems, and now you've fought your way back. Just goes to show what, I guess, the ability of you and the team and how far you've come together to not quit. And of course, at Chicagoland yesterday. You looked like you were going to had a good shot at taking the win, but your teammate came down and kind of stole it from you.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where everybody says, well, if you're going to finish second, it might as well be your teammate. And I don't really buy into that all the time. It's not a lot of fun to finish second to your teammate, but really, if you look at it for Penske Racing, it was a wonderful day. I retook the points lead, started on the pole, throughout a bunch of laps, and we came home 1-2. All in all, it's really a good weekend for us. But as a driver, you know, you want to go out there, you want to win. And I feel really good about, how we're able to perform as a team. But, you know, obviously we need to continue to try to make ourselves better and better as we move forward. The guys on the team have been doing a great job and, giving us good fast race cars. And that's what you can ask for at this time. And, you know, we know that Joey knows that I'm out there running for the points championship. So there's times that he can probably take advantage of that a little bit because he knows that, I have to be remember that, you know, I got to get points in order to be able to try to win the championship. And you know, he's out there looking for more of just the race win side of it.
Yeah, and that's the only thing. And, I mean, he was the only cup driver in the race yesterday. So the boss sent him down for, I guess, owner points championship because I guess he's trying to get both of those, you know, the owner's championship as well as you get the driver's championship. But, you know, when I can't understand why he would send him down to do it when you're in the field unless the owner's championship is cumulative between both your cars.
Well, the owner, it goes off a number. So, like, I could possibly win the owner's championship, but then it would just be outright. But it's only based on one car. So, basically they would have had to enter me at 22, and then, you know, then I'm not entered at 12. So it's kind of a weird deal. But, there wasn't any reason why, in my opinion, that Joey or Brad couldn't do it. You know, if they're on board and they want to win the owner's championship for Rogers, there's more than likely an opportunity that one of those guys could take a couple of days off and make it happen. So we're obviously glad that Joey came and was able to do what he did. We were close to being able to beat him. We had a choice on a restart on which lane to pick, and we came up with what we thought was going to be the best because we took the lead on the outside lane, and then it didn't really work out for us the way we wanted it to, but that's part of racing, you know, the way that they're doing these double file restarts now and all that stuff. It makes it very difficult when you get down the last little bit there on exactly how the restart's going, you know, having the right opportunity to be able to win those races.
Yeah, I kind of saw, you know, the way it worked in how you grabbed the lead, and then the next time when you had the lead and had to take the restart, it seemed like, I don't know whether the outside just didn't work that well or your car adjustment might have been a little off. It seemed like he dove into the corner a bit hard, and he got as good a jump off the start as you did, so it was kind of hard, I guess, to pull away from him.
Yeah, I mean, when you had equal equipment there, it's kind of hard to get that jump getting into turn one, but it really was, Joey drove it in there, and I was surprised that the car actually turned for him the way that he drove down in the corner, but that's what you're getting paid to do, and he knows I'm out there trying to win my championship side of it, and that's exactly, you know, what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to take advantage of any opportunity that he gets to be able to go out there and win those races, so I thought that was really neat to they were bringing home a 1-2, and I talked to Roger about it today, and he said, you did exactly what you're supposed to do. You don't know what he's going to do, and sometimes you just got to take the second-place finish and move on and try to win one the next weekend.
And speaking of the next weekend, a sight of another 1-2 finish where you get the short end of the stick back to Indy.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, looking forward to going back to Indy. You know, obviously one of my favorite moments in Indianapolis 500 history was when I was able to win there in 2006. And, you know, we finished 1-2 there in the first nationwide race for Penske Racing last year. And we feel like we've got a great opportunity to go in there and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I love going to Indy. It means so much to me, really growing up as close as I did to Indianapolis. And, you know, that's the whole reason I started racing, was just someday be able to go and run Indianapolis 500. And everything since then has pretty much been icing on the cake. So the fact that we get to go back there now, run stock cars, and I get to have the opportunity to be the first guy to win the IndyCar race and the stock car race at the Brickyard would be awesome if I could pull it off.
Well, I think you should be able to pull it off. I mean, you ran good there last year, and of course it was in the Dodge Challenger. This year you have the Ford Mustang, and I think the Mustang might be a little better car overall. How do you feel about the drivability now that you've been in the Ford over the Dodge this past year?
I feel really good about it, really, to be honest with you. We've had really fast Ford Mustangs since the beginning of the year. We definitely saw some things in the offseason in making the switch that really gave us a good feeling about being able to go into this year and feel like we had a really good opportunity, solid opportunity to run for the championship, not only on the driver's side, but on the owner's side as well. And I feel like, you know, going there and really just, you know, having a good, smart weekend, remembering what's at stake as far as the points championship, you know, that's obviously very, very important to us, but also to put ourselves in a position to try to win that race. The cars have been really good. A lot of people probably second-guessed Roger a little bit when he made the decision to switch from Dodge to Ford and with the success that we had last year, but when you sit down and really look at what's going on and what's happening in the sport, and you know what we've been able to do since making that switch. You know, I wouldn't say that anybody, you know, would second guess him now after he's done it.
I wouldn't either, because he actually made the switch from Ford to Dodge years ago, and probably is what kept Dodge on the map. And then going back to Ford, you have a lot more wealth of information to pull from, because I think you guys were the only Dodge teams out there. And with all the other Ford teams and the combination with the Roush-Yates Motors, there's a lot of technology that's been, a lot of homework's been done, and basically all you got to do is tweak it to your style and ability to where you can run the car.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of things that we've looked at that have been positives out of the whole situation, and really was a tough decision for Roger to make, obviously, with the fact that we had our own engine company, and there was going to be some people that would have to kind of be shuffled around and moved around from here to there. But really, at the end of the day, it was about the well-being of the team for a long period of time. Unfortunately, we couldn't really get the commitment that we needed for a long-term contract out of the guys at Dodge, and Ford was willing to give it to them. And we look at the product as well and really be able to benchmark ourselves and baseline us against other teams, and really felt like it was the right move for us, and it's really played out to show that it was the right decision to make.
Well, it seems to be working out better on the Nationwide side than the Cup side, but that's a whole fact of the matter on there as
so
well.
It's very, very early in the season yet, and while we want to get both those Cup cars in the chase, you know, we feel like, it's not always the best thing to do to peak early in the season. You know, the first thing is the goal is to make sure that you get yourself in there. And Brad had some really good races at the beginning of the year. They've had some just really bad luck. Seemed like last year he could do nothing wrong. And anytime, you know, a wreck happened, it could happen, you know, 2 inches away from him, and he wouldn't get collected. And now, this year, you know, he's just had, you know, kind of a little bit of a wealth of balls with, you know, other people having issues around him and catching him up in it. So I really wouldn't think where they're at the points right now is too much of a key and factor on where they really stand as far as the performance-wise. I think the performance is as good as it's ever been. Just need a little bit of luck on both their sides.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. Seems to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, and last year it did go a bit different. Now, your battle with, Reagan Smith and Austin Dillon right now seems to be hanging pretty tight in the balance, and right now you're in the catbird seat, and of course you had to fight your way back to get ahead of Reagan Smith, who had been running good for a stretch, and now he's finding that weak spot that kind of bites everybody at a certain point in the season, and And then Austin Dillon, you know, battling two Chevys there. Which one do you think is going to be the one there in the long run, and which one do you think will fade off a little more?
Well, I really, to be honest with you, the guy that I'm looking at right now is probably the biggest threat at this point is, in my opinion, probably Elliott Sadler. And I know he was a couple points out further out than those other guys, but if you looked at the strength that he's had over the past few races and really how well he's run at a lot of them, it's definitely not inconceivable that he wouldn't be able to, you know, make a charge for it. But the biggest thing that we have to do is really just take care of ourselves. You know, we generally have outran a lot of the guys that were racing the championship week in and week out. And without, you know, having the oil pump get blown apart at Michigan and me making a mistake at in Texas and really somebody else, you know, getting us caught up at Talladega, we'd have some, I think it was a decent points lead. I think we'd be anywhere from, you know, 35 to 65 points ahead. So I feel like our strength and on-track running position is we can be expected of. And that's really just what we got to do is keep watching ourselves, making sure that we're making the right decisions and we're doing the right things. And it's all going to take care of itself. I feel like we definitely have the speed. We just need to make sure that we maintain the focus.
Well, definitely it's going to be a fun rest of the season with at least, you know, the top four or five guys battling it out. Of course, with you going into one of your favorite tracks at Indianapolis on the Brickyard there, it's kind of a benefit having the, and of course, the IndyCar and the stock car race different, but just the fact that you've got all that on-track experience there should make it easier. So basically, as long as you run fast, qualify good, stay out of trouble, and you should have a good finish there and maybe stretch that lead a little bit.
I mean, that's what we're planning on doing. We just got to take it one race at a time, keep doing all the right things. And, I mean, our last truck parts, Ford Mustang, and it's been awesome. We got some tracks coming up that I really like, the Watkins Glen and in Ohio and Iowa. And, I mean, we're back to Chicago before we know it. It's really just a matter of making sure that we are smart about what we've got going on. And basically just take care of ourselves for the most part. I know I keep saying it, but I feel like, you know, we're the ones that can lose this championship more so than I feel like somebody can take it away from us. So that's a pretty good feeling to be in, a pretty good desirable spot to be in my opinion.
That sounds real good there, Sam. So I'd like to thank you again for joining me, and we'll see what happens this weekend in Indianapolis, and have a good rest of the evening, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, take care now. We have this, Sam Hornish. Well, poor old Sam. I feel kind of bad for him. He ran good at qualified outside the front row, starting second, and but the guy to beat Saturday was Kyle Busch. The problem that Sam had is he wound up getting in the, he got caught the grass a little bit and wound up overheating the motor and burned it up. Wound up with a 34th place finish. Not the kind of finish he was hoping for to keep the points lead, but now he's got to fight his way back again. But because right now he was worried more about Sadler. Now he's behind Sadler, and Austin Dillon now has the points lead over Regan Smith, who maintained the second spot, and Sadler's third, and Sam's in fourth. But it's only 14 points. Sounds like it a lot, but that can be made up as well, because he was a little bit further down to fight his way back to the top spot. So He's only a point behind Sadler. That's one finishing position ahead of him to catch that one. So seven behind Reagan Smith and then 14 behind Austin Dillon, who did have a pretty good run as well. But Kyle Busch did take the checkered flag, start from the pole. It was pretty much his race to win. He led 92 out of the 100 laps that were run there for the 250-mile event. Brian Scott was surprised. He came in second. Joey Logano was third. Brian Vickers was fourth. He won the $100,000 installment of the Nationwide Dash for Cash. Of course, it came down to a final restart with Kyle Busch and Joey Logano on the front row, and Brian Scott was and Vickers were behind them, and it got to the point where Logano and Scott were fighting for the second spot, and Brian Scott was able to get ahead of Kyle Busch for a little bit there, but Kyle Busch came back and retook the lead with about three laps to go, and just started walking away from that, and so wound up being Kyle Busch and tack another win onto his all-time nationwide wins list, and tack one at the Brickyard. Of course, I'm sure he'd rather take that one in the Cup Series as well. He didn't have as good a day yesterday as he needed to do the weekend sweep, but we'll get to that more in a minute. If you want to give us a call, the number 646-649-1899 here on Blog Talk Radio. Tell us your thoughts about, if you want to talk about any one of the two or three races, the Nationwide Series, the Cup Series, Eldora this past weekend, Wednesday. So tell me what you thought, which one you'd rather, if they should keep that one on the schedule as well, and keep that dirt track race there. Of course, Stewart wouldn't mind. He likes having them fannies in the seats at his track. But it'd be pretty interesting. Of course, Indy being what it is, everybody wants to win that trophy there, and I guess the rest of the top 10 you can count on there was Harvick came in fifth. Paul Menard was sixth. Seventh, Matt Kenseth. Eighth, Kevin Swindell. Ninth, Michael Annette. And tenth, good finish for Mr. Travis Pastrana. He's starting to get the hang of these sleds instead of doing the extreme driving in the smaller cars. But, you know, takes a bit of getting used to. He's growing this year, and hopefully like to see him in the winner's circle. Maybe we'll try to get him on, but he's a busy guy, you know. But he seems like he'd be an interesting guy to talk to. Of course, one of the other guys that were up in the top five in the points, Justin Allgaier, he finished 33rd, so that was one spot to settle. Ahead of Sam Hornish, which drops him to sixth, and Brian Vickers moves up to fifth place. So, rounding out the top ten in nationwide points, back in the seventh spot is Kyle Larson, Brian Scott at eighth, ninth, Trevor Bayne, and tenth, Parker Kligerman. So, time of the race was an hour and 51 minutes and 26 seconds long. Average speed of 134 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 2.14 seconds. Read into that, 21 car lengths. Kyle Busch set a track record with 179.644 on the pole. And he pretty much dominated the whole race. When you lead all but eight laps, it was came down to the green flag pit stops making that change. Of course, the other laps led were Brian Scott, three of the the last six, of course, from laps six through three, and the other lap leader was Brian Vickers. So there were six lead changes amongst four drivers, and there were four cautions for 18 laps. So it was a pretty clean race. Three of them were for debris, and one was for fluid on the track. So that's why it went by pretty quick. Now, the big day turned out to be, we'll give you a quick wrap-up of the trucks at Eldora. Austin Dillon wound up taking the checkered flag. Kyle Larson finished second. Ryan Newman finished third. Joey Coulter fourth. Brendan Gaughan in fifth. Tim Peters sixth. Darrell Wallace Jr. seventh. Matt Kraft in eighth. Ninth is Dave Blaney. And tenth was Max Gresham. Then, of course, Newman was one of the Cup guys in there. Kenny Schrader was out in the field. Our past guest from last week, Jeb Burton, finished 18th, started 5th, but getting used to a bit of the dirt track, still managed his way in the top 20. And good to see that. There were six cautions for 30 laps. And there were five lead changes amongst four drivers. Kenny Schrader, I believe, they're not leading the first 15 laps. Peters, the 16 through 38. Larson for 39, from laps 39 to 88. And then Matt, Austin and Dillon from 89 to 121. And then Larson and Dillon, with Dillon leading the last 30 laps there for the checker flag. As far as the points go in the Camping World Truck Series, it is Matt Crafton leading the series with a big lead over Jeb Burton now. Jeb could have finished a few more trips closer to the front, a few more higher positions. He would have kept it a little close. Now it's a 48-point lead. James Buescher's third, Ty Dillon fourth in the points. Johnny Sauter fifth, Tim Peters sixth. 7th, Brendan Gaughan. 8th, Ryan Blaney. 9th is Darrell Wallace Jr. And 10th, Miguel Paluto. So, failed to qualify. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trucks. So, should be pretty interesting. Of course, the big news for next year, television-wise, you can count out. For 2015, so next year will be the last year for TNT and ESPN. As in 2015, the NBC group will take over. And, of course, NBC owned by Comcast. They gave back when it was still owned by RCA and GE, they gave up the series around the last TV contract, and next year they're getting it back. So, well, they'll have more races because they'll pick up where Fox leaves off, and then NBC will take over the rest of the season. So we'll have to see how those broadcasts turn out. Maybe they won't have a commercial every three laps like TNT. Of course, this past weekend was the debut on ESPN at the Brickyard. When they took back over, they want to have the premier race. So they swapped Pocono and Indy. So the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series will be in Pocono this coming weekend, I think. Let me just double-check the schedule there. And then Yeah, they'll go to Pocono this week, and then they'll hit the road the following week. They'll hit the Glen, so it'll be a 400-miler this weekend in Pocono. Of course, that changed this year upon the last year, the passing of Doc Mattioli. So, we have the Pocono 400 at on ESPN at 1 o'clock this coming Sunday. The Truck Series will be at Pocono, running a 50-lap doubleheader with the ARCA Series on Saturday. That's always a fun thing to watch, 125 miles there. And never can count that out there. So, if you want to give us a call, you can chime in, 646-649-1899. Love to hear what you thought about the weekend's events. Of course, NHRA was out at Sonoma, and funny the way things wrapped up is with John Force round up losing to Ron Capps in the final. He had to fight his way. Capps had to fight his way through just about everybody on John Force Racing to get to the final, but he wound up facing John Force, and he wound up by a hundredth of a second, 4.08085 to 4.072. At Top Fuel Pass, guest Sean Langdon wound up defeating Morgan Lucas with a 3.92 to a 4.6. Something must have happened to Lucas there for him to be that slow. Pro Stock Vincent Nobile defeated Jed Coughlin. Pro Stock Motorcycle was Hector Arana Jr., who we had on a little while ago, and he defeated Matt Smith with a 6.87. Looked like a hole shot win because Arana was a thousandth of a second slower than Matt Smith, but must have got off the line in the reaction time a little sooner. So the way the points go in the NHRA, in the funny car standings, it's Matt Hagen, the points leader, with Ryan Capps second. Third is Cruz Pedregon. Fourth is John Force, having a good year this year. Fifth, Johnny Gray. Sixth, Jack Beckman. Seventh, Courtney Force. Eighth, Tim Wilkerson. Ninth, Del Worsham. And tenth is Rob Heitz. So all three John Force Racing funny cars in the top 10 in points. They're getting ready to get close to their chase when they get to the countdown right after Indianapolis coming up in a few weeks. On Top Fuel, it's Sean Langdon leading the points over Spencer Massey with Tony Schumacher in third, Doug Kalita fourth. Last year's champion Antron Brown is fifth, sixth Khalid Al-Balushi, part of the Allen Abbey team. So with Sean Langdon's teammate, seventh is Clay Milligan. Eighth is Morgan Lucas. Ninth, Bob Vandegrift. Tenth, Steve Torrance. Pro Stock, it's Mike Edwards first. Alan Johnson second. Jed Coughlin in third. Shane Gray fourth. Vincent Nobile fifth. Sixth is Jason Line. Seventh, Greg Anderson. Eighth, Erica Ender Stevens. Ninth is V Gaines. And tenth is Roger Brogdon. As far as Pro Stock Motorcycle goes, Hector Arana Jr. in the top spot, Matt Smith second, Michael Ray third, Hector Arana Sr. fourth, John Hall fifth, Scotty Polacek sixth, Eddie Krawick seventh, eighth is Adam Arana, Hector Jr.'s younger brother, ninth Sean Gann, and tenth is Steve Johnson. Now, the big race itself. Ryan Newman. Jimmy Johnson, four-time winner of the Brickyard versus Ryan Newman, Indiana native, and it came down to, believe it or not, they finished where they started. Newman, the last guy to run, bumped Jimmy Johnson off the pole. Johnson started outside of him, and Ryan Newman was able to get the early lead, led for 29 laps, then they came down to the pit stop, so the guy who took the lead while they were pitting, Jimmy Johnson came back, led the next 23 laps, and then you had single lap leaders there. Johnson wound up leading the most laps, led pretty much the middle of the whole, he led four times for 73 laps, was the lap leader. He led most of the middle, all the middle of the race for the most part, except giving it up to Logano, and Jeff Gordon led some laps there. Montoya led one, a lot of single-digit people, and due to green flag stops. So it wasn't that thing that, you know, weren't that many cautions. I think we can count out how many they had. There were only three for 14 laps for out of the 400 miles run, which was a cleaner race in caution laps versus green flag laps over the nationwide race, and it just happened to be the way that it turned out. Now, what cost Jimmy Johnson was a late pit stop, where it was a green flag stop. He was in the pits for 18 seconds. And that's usually not like Jimmy Johnson's team to take that long in the pits, because that's some trouble with the right rear, which gave the lead back to Ryan Newman. And Newman was able to lead the last 11 laps to get his first victory at the Brickyard. Now, that makes him adds him to the list of Daytona 500 and Brickyard 400 winners, and including Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon among those. Ryan Newman growing up from South Bend, Indiana, it was a home track race for him, basically a home race for Stewart Haas Racing, Tony Stewart, another Indiana native and team owner for Ryan Newman's team. Earlier in the week, told Newman that he wasn't going to be re-signed. So, you know, it's pretty bad when the guy you let go turns out wins one of the biggest races of the year, and that helps the resume when you do that. And Newman's had some bad luck, but overall, you know, he's having a pretty respectable season. He's looking for to get into the top 10 in points. Let's see where he's at here. Got Stewart in 11th. If Newman could put the streak together, a couple of great runs throughout the year, I figure going to Pocono. That's kind of, the setups are kind of the same as Indy. Pretty flat. Except instead of four distinct turns, you have three, triangular shape and nature. And if you run good at Indy, you should be able to run good at Pocono. So, and there's a first pole for Newman in a while. Of course, teamed up with his old crew chief, Matt Borland, when Brian drove for Penske Racing a few years back before catching on with the Stewart Haas Racing. And, of course, Newman's pole speed, another track record, 187.53 miles an hour. Makes you hope they don't start putting restrictor plates on the Brickyard cars, because that'll kind of ruin that race. Or it might bunch them up, make it like Daytona. But then they start getting up around that high, then it makes you kind of look at, wonder, looking at it. It's a 2.5 mile track, but doesn't flow because you have the distinct turns and the short straightaways between 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. So it's kind of set up kind of different, but that's another good thing about that. You figure with that track set up the way it is and the way Pocono the way it is, it's good to have some diversity in track setups and all worked out well for Newman. Of course, Jimmy Johnson, a bit disappointed. Had a good car, was looking for his 5th Brickyard win, would put him in a class by himself in NASCAR, breaking the tie with Jeff Gordon, who has 4 wins at Indy himself. And Johnson would wind up, I think Michael Schumacher in Formula One has 5 wins at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, so that would put him in that category, but it wasn't Jimmy's day. Could have been, but all it takes is that one pit stop at the wrong time where you have a problem, and the fact that the race stayed green, if you would have had a couple cautions in between there and they could have been starting off next to each other, might have made it pretty interesting, but that wasn't the case. Chrissy Kane wound up 3rd, 4th, the car owner himself, Tony Stewart, 5th, Matt Kenseth. Dale Jr., good day for him, finished 6th. Jeff Gordon was 7th. Joey Logano was 8th. Juan Pablo Montoya was 9th. Talk about a guy who pretty much owned the Brickyard 400 a few years ago and cost himself speeding down pit road. Was not able to recover and dashed his chances to become the first guy to win the Indy 500 and the Brickyard 400. That's something that hasn't been done yet by anybody. The only one who actually has a shot at that is Montoya. And if Sam Hornish does get back up in the Cup Series, he's the only other eligible one to be able to do that. So there's only 2 guys that could claim that record, but that's yet to be seen anyway. And Kyle Busch, who did dominate the Nationwide race, wound up with a 10th place finish. Didn't lead any laps either, so I guess he spent all that in the Nationwide race and all the guys in front of him in the Cup race that finished things. But it looked pretty much like you had, Chevy, Toyota, Chevy, Ford, Chevy, Toyota. So most of the top 10s were Chevys. Most of them were Hendrick Chevys, all 4 Hendrick cars in the top 10. Newman and Stewart had Hendrick motors in them, so there's 6 Hendrick engine-powered cars in the top 10. And the only lone Chevy that wasn't Hendrick-powered was Montoya's, and that's ECR, Earnhardt Childress Racing engine, so. And the only, then Kenseth and Kyle Busch, the only 2 Toyotas in the top 10, and the only Ford was Joey Logano. Defending champ, Brad Keselowski was 21st. The other Stuart Haas racing car, the GoDaddy Chevrolet, wound up 30th. And we'll see how that makes out for things there. I don't know. Doesn't seem to be looking all that promising for that. So either consider it a learning year or whatever. But I know all the Danica haters out there will saying she don't belong in there. But got to see what happens next year or second time around and tracks she's already been to. But that said, Jimmy Johnson still leads the points. Got a wide lead, almost 100-point lead over Clint Bowyer. Actually, it's 75 points to be exact. and Carl Edwards is third. Kevin Harvick is fourth. Fifth, Dale Jr. Sixth, Matt Kenseth. Seventh is Kyle Busch. Eighth is Greg Biffle. Ninth is Casey Kane. And 10th is Jeff Gordon. Now, that being said, now remember this. When we get down to race 26 at Richmond, after that race, all of that will change. So it remains to be seen as to who's what where, because the top 10 will lock in, then they'll be reseeded depending on wins, who gets how many bonus points. And, of course, right now the series wins lead are Kenseth and Jimmy Johnson. So they'd be seated at the top. And then you get your two wild card spots at 11 and 12. I think it's within the top 20 with the most amount of wins each. And it's Stewart, Truex, and Newman right there. So it all depends on how that lays out. And that's just the way they are, the way they should wind up. Right now in the points, it's Stewart in 11th and Truex in 12th. But Tony Stewart is 1 point out of 10th place. So that could change with between him and Gordon and Kane. They're all within about 6 points of each other, so that could change on any given weekend. So let's hear from yesterday's winner, Ryan Newman, and sure, he was happy as hell to take the win, so let's hear what Newman had to say, because looking for work for next year, any win you get is impressive, but getting one at the Brickyard always is an extra feather in your hat, because it's one of the crown jewel races that they run in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, the Daytona being one, the Brickyard being two, the Coke 600 being three. Used to be the Southern 500 and the Pepsi 400, but that may have changed. But figure the big three are the Coke 600, the Daytona 500, and the Brickyard 400. They'll be probably the three that I want to win in my lifetime.
Here from our 2013 Brickyard 400 winner, and that is Ryan Newman, and he drove the number 39 Quicken Loans, the Smurfs Chevrolet for Stuart Haas Racing. He claims his first Brickyard 400. It's his 17th career NASCAR Sprint Cup Series win. It gets him into the 2014 NASCAR Sprint All-Star Race with this victory here today. It also now positions him as a contender for a position in the 2013 chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. With his win, he's 16th in points. He has that all-important win. And, you know, congratulations to Ryan Newman. He becomes the third Brickyard winner to win from the pole, joining Kevin Harvick in 03, Jimmy Johnson in 08. Ryan Newman, congratulations on this victory here today, joined by crew chief Matt Borland. What's it feel like to win the Brickyard 400?
I'm not sure yet. I mean, I know at this point it's an amazing feeling. I'll say honestly, I was more emotional yesterday after I won the pole coming off turn two than I was the entire last lap or two laps after doing my donuts and everything else today. And I'm not sure why. I think it's I think it's something that I realized yesterday how special it was, and I think I took an emotional hit yesterday. Just an awesome day. Matt and all these guys did such a great job and an awesome race car, probably the best race car I've ever driven in my entire life. And kind of sat there for a while and watched Jimmy, and I kept quiet on the radio, but I wanted to see who I was racing, and I played the old Pearson role, I guess you could say. I just knew I had a really good car. I didn't want to have a really good car and not win the race. So Matt's call really helped me out personally to get the track position that I need to take the two tires. And I was really just counting down laps from that point on. I knew a lot of guys needed a pit. I knew we were going to be the leader. I didn't know how far back Jimmy was. Finally, I asked, and he said at 4 seconds at that point. I knew I had to manage my race car, manage my tires, and it's really so difficult to pass. And I knew I had a really good long-run car, and his car was looking looser and looser as he ran when I was behind him there. So an exciting day. Thank Quicken Loans and Chevrolet and Sprint and all the people, all the sponsors that we have that make it a year for us. But Tony Stewart and Stewart Haas Racing, they gave us the tools that we needed all weekend and all year for a great day.
Congratulations, Ron. Matt Borland, talk about winning this race here today.
It's a great feeling for sure. I think I'm the happiest for Ryan and his family, and also for Lawrence Burch, our car chief. I mean, Indianapolis is just such a big deal, and to win a big race in your hometown is huge. And it's great to, you know, it's been a long time been in victory lane, so it's a good feeling for myself just from the standpoint of winning a race again. Just tremendous job by all the guys in the shop getting that car ready. And, perfect execution by all the guys this weekend getting the car ready. And, great pit stop there at the end.
Questions now for Ryan or Matt. We'll start with Jenna, then we'll go Nate, and then to Lee.
We're going to get to go first, Jennifer. Ryan, I was going to ask you about your lack of emotion, but you sort of already addressed that.
Ogres don't have emotion. You know that.
Strangely, the people on Twitter said the same thing. The Daytona 500 was also a big win, but as an Indiana guy, you know, is this one bigger? Are they the same?
I have this. I mean, I don't show a lot of emotion. I think everybody kind of knows me as that. But I have the same emotion. I have the same thankfulness that I did when I won the Daytona 500. Because I feel that everybody that's been a part of my racing career, from people that have bought my racing uniform, bought me a right rear tire, paid to give us a gas card, a credit card to get to some racetrack at some point in my career, those are the people that have made me and helped me get to where I am today. You know, Matt Borland's been an instrumental part of my racing career. Don Miller, who put Matt Borland and I back, together. I shouldn't say back together for the first time back in 2000. You know, it's just the people that have been instrumental in my career. And that could be the littlest thing I'm thankful for. And that's what I'm thinking about. To me, it's awesome to be here in Indy. It's awesome because it's my home state. I grew up, racing around here, Winchester and Salem and IRP and, even the little tracks like Anderson and places like that. And that makes it special. I mean, most people don't know. I lived in a shop out in Pittsburgh, in Jeff Gordon's old shop, before I ever made it to NASCAR. I slept with race cars. That was my summer job, was working on race cars and sleeping in the shop with them. And I've raced go karts pretty much every go kart track around here. Been kicked out of half of them, but those are the things that make it special. And I think of those things more than I carry the emotion on my cheeks.
I have race winner Ryan Newman, of course, and just goes to show that. When you win a big race like that, you're looking for all the things that brought you to the point there. And Matt Borland, of course, when he was talking about Don Miller, was with Penske Racing, and when he drove the number 12 car and was riding the Rocket qualifying at the pole, and doing what, about 9 races a year? I remember catching up with him in the press conferences after the race at Dover. It seemed like every time you turn around, he was there. Came down between, I think he won like 3 races at Dover. Jimmy Johnson won a boatload. Jimmy Johnson right now is probably the all-time Dover winner, tied for the top spot with, I think, Bobby Allison and Richard Petty. So it was a so Ryan Newman has quite a, had a few wins at Dover as well, and just goes to show that, you know, going from one to another, especially a fledgling startup team like Stuart Haas Racing, and you know, getting stuck in some wrecks where you shouldn't have been, or an incident a couple weeks ago with Kurt Busch that got a little bent out of shape about. But see if we can catch up with Tony Stewart there, the team owner. See what he had to say. We had a few comments on that as well. So, you know, finishing, he got to sit in the press conference with him. So it's almost... it's almost as good as getting the win, but you don't have to sit through all the, well, maybe you do as a team owner, sit through all the stuff on victory
day. Team owner of today's winning race car, Tony Stewart, has joined us here in the Chris Economaki Media Center. Tony also had a strong showing of his own, driving the number 14 Mobile One Chevrolet to a fourth place finish. Tony, congratulations. It's been quite a week for you, and I know that this has to be a good feeling to have one of your race teams win the Brickyard, an event that you have won several times, and you know the importance of it. And for a guy like Ryan Newman, who's a native Hoosier, that's got to be a big deal.
Yeah, it really is. It's I don't know how you could ask for a better week on our side. Just, you know, first half of the week was great. Yesterday, Ryan going out, last car out, getting the pole, and then watching the, you know, being in the race today and watching the battle that him and Jimmy had all day just was impressive to watch. I mean, we were fortunate enough that we, you know, were pretty much a top five car all day, just, you know, weren't good enough to be up there with Jimmy and Ryan. But, man, just, you know, I think midway through the race there, we were in a scenario where Jimmy was leading, we were second, and when Ryan got the third, in like two laps, he caught us, and at that point, I knew it was down to him and Jimmy. So, you know, it just was fun to watch, nerve-wracking as a co-owner. I mean, the other car owners out kissing the bricks right now, which I'm really happy for. I'm really proud for Gene Haas and everybody at Stuart Haas Racing. Just an unbelievable week for this organization, and you know, Mobile One Technology that helped out, and you know, everybody at Quicken Loans and Bass Pro Shops, just everybody involved. And for Ryan, just a huge day. I mean, you know, when we were little, this was the place. I mean, this is where we wanted to be. I mean, we knew what Daytona was, but this was the place for us as Hoosiers here. So you know, to see him get one, and I'm glad that our last trip to the Brickyard together as teammates, you know, we're sitting here, you know, watching him kiss the bricks today.
Take questions now for Tony Stewart. Tom Jensen, go ahead and lead us off, please.
Hi, Tony. Tom Jensen, FoxSports.com. Congratulations. Two questions for you. The first one, you said earlier this week that winning as an owner would feel as good as a driver. Does it?
Yes.
The second one, what the hell do you do next week?
Oh, my God, I race a lot next week. I race Monday, Tuesday. I have a test Wednesday. I race Thursday. Where do we go next week?
Pocono.
Pocono Friday, I race Friday night. Pocono Saturday, I'm racing Saturday night. Racing Sunday. So I think I race every day next week except for Wednesday, and that's a test. So and a lot of those days are doubled up days. So we got a busy week, but I can't think of a better week to celebrate.
There's team owner Tony Stewart talking about winning the Brickyard as an owner as well as just a driver. This week going to Pocono. It's time for them to see what they got there. Of course, this race last year, Jeff Gordon won and Casey Kane was second. Of course, this year with the Gen 6 cars makes things a little different. But, of course, the temperature change from the June to the August also comes into play. So we got the tricky triangle coming up, a 2.5 mile paved, of course. 160 laps instead of 200 laps for the 400 mile or so. It should be interesting to see that what they're going to do there. So as a matter of fact, who am I going to make the pick for? And of course, you can go make your picks. Go to Facebook.com, Garage Talk Live. I'll post the picks there. I mean, not pictures, but my pick for this weekend's Pocono race. And you can follow suit right underneath it there and make your picks as well. And if you haven't liked the page yet, go to Facebook.com/Garage Talk Live. Hit the like on the page or go to your search and type in Garage Talk Live. It'd be a lot easier. If you're already on Facebook, that's the way I would have done it. But anyway, of course, this race last year was rain shortened. They only ran 98 laps, so it's going to be interesting to see how this one turns out. But I'm thinking it's going to be Jimmy Johnson because he fell a little short in Indy. He can pretty much run the same tire as well. Setups are pretty close. Nothing against Newman. He could come back and win it. Stewart could even win it. But I think with Newman winning the Brickyard, I think it's going to be Johnson's turn to take the checkers at the tricky triangle in Pocono. Well, I'm Vince Bonfigli. Tune in next week when we wrap up the tricky triangle. I'm looking to have a few interviews scheduled. Maybe we'll see. I'll post it on Facebook of who I get for next week. We'll definitely have somebody lined up, and that's what I get to work on tomorrow. So good night and good racing. Hope you all enjoy the show, and we'll see you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com. See ya.